Well, your dadgum government, you saw it so and so's. You got your damn hands in every pocket of my clothes. Well, your dadgum, dadgum, dadgum government. Oh, don't you know? Oh, don't you love them sometimes? Well, your dadgum government, you better pay attention. You're setting up there like a fool's convention. Where you get gum, get gum, get gum government. Uh-huh. Oh, don't you know? Oh, don't you love them sometimes? Uh-huh. Well, you soul selling, no good sons of a shoe fitting fire starters. Ought to tell you no good premonitory bone frame. And nail it to your government walls. All of you, you dadgum government, you sorry rat with ratchets. You got yourself an itch and you're wanting me to scratch it. Well, you dadgum, dadgum, dadgum government.
Dadgum government. Here we are, folks, and the number one nemesis to freedom and liberty throughout the country is your own government. I know that's a hard pill to swallow, but hey, welcome to Rebel Madman Radio here at the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN. And just a quick touching on a couple of subjects. Today I'm taking no calls. I hope that that doesn't offend you wonderful listeners out there. I would ask you to make notes for questions that you might have in the future, because this is a program I've been wanting to do for quite a while, and I think it needs to be touched upon, and I'm going to do my very best to get in all of my information within the time frame that we're dealing with. And I also, first of all, if freedom of speech, freedom of expression, means anything to you whatsoever, you've got to step up and support RBN. You just have to. Because without that support for freedom of speech, there's nothing. Because if we can't point out, if no one could go on record today to say what I'm going to say, if it would be prohibited, how in the world can the people ever learn? Here's your chance. Stand up. Support RBN. And I know that there's this deal that's going on, which is a fantastic opportunity. Donate $100 or more, and you'll have an opportunity to win one of the cherished books from John Stantmiller's library, personal library. That's pretty good. Well, all of that kind of out of the way, let's jump into the subject for today. And this one has been one that has meant a lot to me over the years. And let's stop and think about it. If we took a poll, and there have been quite a few, of presidents of the United States, who was your favorite? Who was the good one? Who was this? If you go through, you will find that Abraham Lincoln will be listed in the top five of almost any poll that anyone takes. And let's also remember that he is the favorite of both political parties in many respects. Obama said he was his favorite president. Hillary said, "Sorry, Bill, but Abraham Lincoln is my favorite." And then 2016, Donald J. Trump says to a group in Detroit, Michigan, "One of the greatest honors of my life is to be the nominee of the party of Lincoln. And I intend to bring this country back to the principles of Abraham Lincoln." He didn't bother to tell anybody what those principles were that he stood for, and no one asked. But it sounded good. And let's think about Lincoln. And that's what's the subject going to be the subject today. There have been over 15,000. That's right. 15,000 books written about Abraham Lincoln. How many of them are critical? And we look at the man who is given credit for doing something he never did, and that was freeing the slaves. He didn't do that. As a matter of fact, his Emancipation Proclamation enslaved many more and actually caused the deaths of maybe 100,000 blacks. But here's the point that I wanted to talk about. To be more specific, was let's look at something called, and it's in the Constitution, there's only one crime that is mentioned in the Constitution. And I will read that for you. It's listed in Article 3, Section 3. And it says, treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them or in adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort. No person shall be convicted of treason unless on the testimony of two witnesses to the same overt act or on confession in open court. The Congress shall have power to declare the punishment of treason, but no attainder of treason shall work corruption of blood or forfeiture except during the life of the person attainted. So in our Constitution, we have one crime listed. Only one. And that is treason. And that is, again, treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them. Let's go back to that election of 1860. Let's look at the 10 southern states. Or let's look at the first seven that seceded. I think that's critical. Seven states seceded. Now, how many people know that at least three of those states put their right to secede into their ratifying documents? So if those ratifying documents were accepted and they were made a part of the Union, then they had the right to secede. And if we look at Article 4, Section 2, it says that all states have the same privileges and immunities. So if those three states that so stipulated they could secede put it into the ratification agreements and they were accepted, then their premise was accepted in the contract or the compact of the Union. And then, because of Article 4, Clause 2, they all had the same privileges and immunities. So secession was not a crime. In fact, secession was constitutional, although it wasn't mentioned. But then let's take a very close look at the election of 1860 again. After Abraham Lincoln is elected, now let's not forget that in the 10 states in the Confederacy, the first seven seceded. Then Fort Sumter was fired upon. So Lincoln sends out to every governor, he sends out a notice to provide troops to invade the southern states that had seceded, the seven. So then upon receiving this, well, let's look at some of their comments. And let's look first at Governor Claiborne F. Jackson of Missouri. What was his response to Abraham Lincoln's dictation that troops would be provided? He said, "I will supply no troops to make war upon the people of the seceded states. the requisition for troops is illegal, unconstitutional, and revolutionary in its objects, inhuman and diabolical, and cannot be complied with. Not one man will the state of Missouri furnish to carry on any such unholy crusade. Unquote. Then what did Governor Beriah McGoffin of Kentucky have to say about Lincoln's letter? And I quote, "Kentucky will furnish no troops for the wicked purpose of subduing her sister southern states." And then Governor John Pendleton Kennedy of Maryland, who stated the following, "The requisition is a wicked blunder. The administration in Washington have literally forced the border states out of the Union and really seem to be utterly unconscious of the follies they have perpetrated." Okay, we covered the border states there, but we also know that North Carolina, Arkansas, the governor of Arkansas, the governor of North Carolina, the governor of Tennessee, the governors of Virginia, they all said no to the requisition to provide troops to invade their sister states. And they would not participate in any such activity. So then what happens? Then Arkansas, North Carolina, Virginia, and Tennessee vote to secede, with the state of Virginia putting it up for popular vote. Overwhelmingly, the people voted to secede. So the people of the states of the South, 10 of them, exercised their constitutional authority to leave what they believed. And especially if you get into it and look into exactly what happened in Virginia. So we have the incident in Virginia. We have what occurred there. And Virginia says no, along with the others who said no, we will not participate. So then, did Lincoln use those troops which he called for from the states which provided them? Did he use those troops to invade the southern states which had seceded? Well, eventually, yes, he did. But what states did he invade prior to those that had seceded? Lincoln immediately invaded the three border states, Maryland, Kentucky, and Missouri. And he destroyed any civil rights or any personal rights or individual rights that the people of those states had. Totally destroyed them. Why, even when he invaded the state of Maryland, which had not seceded, but had called for a delegation to vote for secession, he actually had the military authorities take over the state. Violation of Article 3, Section 3. He participated in an invasion of a state that was still in the Union and took over their government. Now, the legislature of the state of Maryland had voted not to allow Union troops to pass through the state of Maryland. And there was a huge fight when they did come through the state of Maryland. Ended up being quite the battle. So then he has his military authorities become the government in the state of Maryland. We'll get to the other two states here in a second. I'm just going to cover Maryland right now. They invade Maryland. They put the mayor of Baltimore in prison. No trial. He does away with the with habeas corpus. The Chief Justice of the Supreme Court says that you can't do that. You can't do away with the writ of habeas corpus. It is not constitutional. So what does Lincoln do? He orders an arrest of the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, Roger Taney, for his decision. Now, let me see where in the Constitution that is permitted. So he orders his arrest. Thank goodness the U.S. Marshals Service refused to serve the warrant. And Taney was safe until his death. But he sent forces, military forces in. They took over the government. They ran the elections. And they put people in prison without charges because they opposed Lincoln's administration. Now, people, would you tolerate that today? If Biden sent people into your state and said your legislature is no longer in session and I will arrest them post haste and I will put them in prison without trial, without due process, is that okay? Well, if it's not okay now, how is it okay then? But let's stop and think about the election. Those 10 southern states that seceded, would you believe that Abraham Lincoln was not even on the ballot in 1860 in those 10 southern states? Not even on the ballot. How can anyone construe the ethics of the Declaration of Independence that only a just government must depend on the consent of the governed? So Lincoln's election was a repudiation of the Declaration of Independence, and it was no longer followed. How many people now? Lincoln was on the ballot in Maryland. What percentage of the vote did he get? 3%, maybe 4. Very close to 4%. The people of Maryland didn't want him as president, obviously. But he invades Maryland. The first three states Lincoln invaded were still in the Union. How can you rationalize that in your mind as being constitutional, legal, or anything else that you consider along those lines? Okay, well, let's look at Kentucky, another border state, Lincoln's home state. What percentage of the vote did he get in Kentucky? 1%. 1% of the people in his home state. He could not even carry his home county. Yes, he had moved to Illinois. That's conceded. But the people of Kentucky did not want him. Out of over 200,000 votes cast in the state of Kentucky in 1860, Abraham Lincoln got somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,200. But what did Lincoln do? He invaded the state of Kentucky, put military authorities in charge of the government. And what did he do with people like McGuffin, the governor? Hey, put him in jail. Put his family in jail. His children in jail. And any other people who swore allegiance to the Confederacy, including former Vice President Breckinridge, took his wife, took her to the state line, and told her, keep walking. Really? Bet you didn't hear that down at the local communist gulag we call American schools. Bet you didn't know that. Put anyone who would not take an oath to the Union in Kentucky, put them, their wives, and their children in prison because they would not swear allegiance to the Union. Well, what about Missouri? He also invaded Missouri. That's a really good story. Who did he invade Missouri? Who did he use? Recent immigrants to the country. People, you better wake up. We've got millions of them walking the streets of America who have no connection whatsoever to this country, who have no allegiance to its history. None whatsoever. Lincoln used those immigrants to invade the state of, primarily those immigrants, to invade the state of Missouri. Now, Missouri did issue 10% of their votes for Lincoln. Regardless, he invaded their state, took a colonel, promoted him to general, and gave him legions of German immigrants who weren't even residents of this country to invade the state of Maryland. I'm sorry, the state of Missouri. Now, Missouri legislature took off from Jefferson City as Lincoln's army advanced into their state. And they did stop, and they did secede from the Union. That's documented. Missouri did secede. Most people won't tell you that. I know they didn't tell you that at school. But Missouri did secede. But the same thing was done there. If you were involved in Missouri and you were a loyal to the Confederacy, you were in deep trouble. I promise you, you were in deep trouble. So, what actually happened when these wonderful immigrants, again, people, please pay close attention to this. This country has millions of illegal aliens walking around. If they are brought into the service of the government, do you think they give a damn about your heritage? Do they give a damn about what America actually stands for? No, they don't. They have no connection to this country. They have no allegiance to this country. Yet we're bringing them across the border. Millions come across that southern border. Quite a few come across the northern border. We don't talk about that, but maybe we will. But there we are. And my involvement, and good old Stephen Whitener, fellow host at RBN, and I discussed my tenure with the Minuteman Project back in 2005 and what we saw and what we experienced with the illegals coming across the border, with the government, with the wonderful folks, boots on the ground, Border Patrol, who supported us to the ultimate for what we were trying to do in 2005. And even at the end of April of 2005, they took out a full page ad in the newspaper, local newspaper, to thank us for what we did. And those agents we talked to, who told us many times, when there got to be an avenue of high traffic coming across the border, they were assigned somewhere else. You don't think your government's behind this illegal immigration? Think again. This has been part and parcel of their plan from day one. So, Lincoln did not use his armies that he demanded from the states. He did not use them initially to invade the states that had seceded. He used them to invade the states that were still in the Union. Lincoln invaded those people, put those people in prison, and people today consider him to be one of our best presidents. The Republican Party still calls themselves the Party of Lincoln. They have Lincoln Day dinners all over this country to celebrate a traitor to this country as defined by the U.S. Constitution. Absolutely a traitor. The definition tells us all we need to know about that. And again, people, we really need to pay attention to parallels in history. And the fact that we have millions of illegal immigrants in this country. Some of them have been given amnesty by wonderful people like Ronald Reagan and Joe Biden. Reagan in 87, blanket amnesty for over 3 million of them. And we continue. They have no allegiance to this country. They could care less. But they do have an allegiance to the government. The country doesn't matter, but the government does to these illegal immigrants. And if the military calls them, the government calls them into service and tells them they either serve in the military or they'll be kicked out of the country, what do you think their choices will be? Now, here's the thing I wanted to get into also about this subject. And I thank you listeners out there for allowing me to take this time today to not take phone calls, because I wanted to get this emphasis across. Now, what I'm going to read from you now is what happened in those three border states that were still in the Union. Lincoln invaded his own country first. He did not invade those 10 states that seceded first. He invaded three states which had not seceded. Imagine that. So let's take a close look at, and I'm reading to you from the official records of the War of the Rebellion, which is in the Library of Congress. Ah! Here comes that wonderful music, folks. Oh, and my wonderful, wonderful Ronnie Van Zandt. Thanks, folks. We'll be back.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855, the number 2, keep it today.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Southern pride swelled up inside, sweet dug in for the night. Then I heard a rider calling, they're coming down the road, and the fiery flash of 20-pounders started to explode. Tried our best to stop them, our efforts were in vain. In the distance you could hear the sound of Dixie's last refrain. They're burning Georgia down, those devils dressed in blue.
Folks, they burned Georgia down. They did. William Tecumseh Sherman participated and took a 50-mile-wide swath through Georgia from Atlanta to Savannah. the fourth largest ecological disaster in the history of this planet. Of course, you don't hear that from the green folks now, do you? But yes, they burned Georgia down. But what did they do in these border states that we talked about? These border states that were still in the Union. Now, Missouri did secede, so we'll give it that. But the atrocities that were committed by these immigrants, especially under General Nathaniel Lyon, L-Y-O-N, who took his immigrants who had left Europe because they had been chased out because they were Marxist socialist and they had moved to America. And then they became the backbone of Abraham Lincoln's army. Illegal immigrants, the backbone of an army to suppress freedom in the states which didn't even secede, talking about Kentucky and Maryland. And we're going to get to various atrocities here. And again, I'm reading from the official documents. And let's take a look. Brigadier General Nathaniel Lyon, in command of the Army of the West in Springfield, Missouri, informed his troops in an order, and I quote, "The cases of plundering, wanton destruction of property, and disregard of personal rights of which the general commanding has heard with pain have been disgraceful to our troops." Lyon's brigade commanders were Major Samuel D. Sturgis, 1st U.S. Cavalry, Colonel Franz Siegel. Colonel Siegel wasn't even an American citizen, and he had escaped from the purge of Marxists in Europe in 1848. Then there was the 3rd Missouri, the Union, Lieutenant Colonel George L. Andrews, 1st Missouri, and Colonel George W. Deitzler of the 1st Kansas. What did they do? Well, let's take a look again at the official records. John T.K. Hayward, who was a staunch Unionist and a general agent of the Hannibal and St. Joseph, Missouri Railroad in St. Louis, wrote to Major General John C. Fremont in St. Louis. And here is what he said. And I quote, "You already know the many depredations committed by the soldiery. Many citizens were ready to run from fright. It occurred, to my knowledge, in a good many cases where men thus ran and did not obey the order to halt, which very likely they did not understand if they heard. They were fired upon, not single shots, but volleys, in the presence, but without the command of officers. It has been reported to me that soldiers have repeatedly fired from trains, etc., at quiet, peaceful citizens. The present week, Mr. John McAfee, Speaker of the last Missouri House of Representatives, was arrested and required by General Hurlbut to dig trenches in the hot sun all day." What else do we know from the official records? Hayward, the gentleman I mentioned before, on August the 13th, sent another letter to J.W. Brooks in Boston, who sent extracts of Hayward's letter to Secretary of War Simon Cameron in Washington. Here's what the letter said. This is what Abraham Lincoln and these illegal immigrants were doing to U.S. citizens in their own states who had, of course, Missouri had seceded. But is it to justify the crimes that occurred? Here's what he said. "In northern Missouri, the irregularities of the soldiery, such as taking poultry, pigs, milk, butter, preserves, potatoes, horses, and in fact everything they want, entering and searching houses, and stealing in many cases, committing rapes on the Negro women, and such like things. The effect has been to make a great many Union men now our enemies. These things are not exaggerated by me, and though they do not characterize all of the troops, several regiments have conducted in this manner, and no punishment or none of any account has ever been meted out to them for their actions. Then, of course, drunkenness is a great curse of both officers and free men. Fremont entrusts those matters to Brigadier General John Pope and to Hurlbut. I can fully substantiate all that I have written to you. In St. Louis, General Fremont, commanding the Western Department in General Orders No. 6, admonished his troops. The irregularities, the license of a few, have reflected discredit upon our cause and ourselves. It's kind of nice of you, General Fremont, because it was more than a few, and the record shows that. Captain William E. Prince, 1st U.S. Infantry, Commandant of Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, on September the 9th, sent a message to Brigadier General James H. Lane, Kansas Brigade, Fort Lincoln, Kansas. And I quote, "I hope you will crush out this marauding which is being enacted in Colonel Charles R. Jennison's name, as also yours, by a band of men representing themselves belonging to your command. Doubtly, their atrocities in Missouri have been already presented to you." Let me give you another straight from the official records. General Lane, on September 24th, reported the skirmish at and the destruction of the entire town of Osceola, Missouri, 90 miles south-southwest of Kansas City on September 22nd. To General Fremont, and he said, and I quote, "The enemy ambushed the approaches to the town, and after being driven from them by the advance under Colonel James Montgomery of the 3rd Kansas Cavalry and William Weir, 4th Kansas Cavalry, they took refuge in the buildings of the town to annoy us. We were compelled to shell them out, and in so doing, the entire town of Osceola, Missouri, was burned to ashes. I trust you will approve our actions in Osceola and its complete destruction." General Fremont, on October the 3rd, telegraphed to Colonel Thomas S. Scott, Assistant Secretary of War, Washington, that General Lane chased Confederate Brigadier General James S. Raines into Osceola and was compelled to shell the place to dislodge the rebels. In doing so, he burned the town. On October the 9th, General Lane, wired his close personal friend, President Abraham Lincoln, and I quote, "While the Kansas Brigade was being organized, Governor Charles Robinson exerted his utmost endeavor to prevent the enlistment of men. Since its organization, he has constantly vilified myself and abused the men under my command as marauders and thieves. The 3rd Regiment in Lane's brigade was the 5th Kansas Cavalry, Colonel Hamilton P. Johnson. Lane, a radical Republican, just happened to be, at the same time, a United States Senator from Kansas." Folks, the atrocities that occurred in Missouri are unreal. The atrocities that occurred in Kansas. I'm sorry. I didn't mean Kansas. Kansas was on my head there. But in Kentucky, the things that happened in Kentucky were just absolutely unreal. There is an old adage that Kentucky finally seceded after the war. How many of you people are aware, and I know you didn't hear this down at the local gulag, how many people are aware that Kentucky did not ratify the 13th and the 15th Amendments until 1976. Well over 110 years after the war ended. There are people in Kentucky who will tell you that Kentucky seceded after the war. If you go to Kentucky today, you will find hundreds, even now, of Confederate memorials and statues that have not been torn down yet. How many Union statues and memorials are there in the state of Kentucky? Would you believe one? The things, the atrocities, if you don't know about this, you will never understand the feelings that we true Southerners get over and over and over again every time we see this stuff. And for the Republican Party to revere a man who was a traitor to his own country. Well, hell, let's build him a temple. A temple of worship. And let's put it on the Potomac. Let's name cities after him. Let's put his likeness on our money. You know, I asked a question today of quite a few folks. And I was really waiting for an answer. And, you know, so far, I really haven't gotten it. But my question was really pretty simple. Can you please name for me all of the things that Abraham Lincoln did which were constitutional? And do you not understand that Abraham Lincoln destroyed the 10th Amendment with his actions in those border states? Those states were still in the Union up until Missouri did secede on the run. But in Kentucky and Maryland, the people were put in prison without charges. How can you embrace that? I have a real problem with people who go, oh, well, you know, that's all right because he freed the blacks. No, he didn't. He did not free the blacks. Read the wonderful editor of Ebony Magazine, God rest his soul, Lerone Bennett Jr. Read his book, Forced into Glory, Abraham Lincoln and His White Dream. Because he wanted all of the blacks out of the country, totally. He said it on multiple occasions. He was still working on colonization right up until the time he was assassinated. And yet, he's a hero. He has a monument. I'm sure that old Joe Biden's out there going, well, you know, how many provisions of the Constitution do I have to destroy to get a temple on the Potomac? And when Obama was asked who his favorite president was, and he said, oh, naturally, it's Abraham Lincoln. Why didn't anyone ask him why? And then if he said, oh, he freed the blacks, to say, no, that's a lie, didn't happen. The Emancipation Proclamation didn't free any blacks. It freed blacks where he had no control in the South. But let's go back to Kentucky. Let's look at what he did in Kentucky, what his administration did. There were, at the time of the secession, there were 90,000 slaves in the state of Maryland alone. Kentucky, I don't have the official number, but Kentucky had a plethora of slaves. What did the Union Army do? Did they free these men and women from slavery? Nope. They brought them into service to the Union Army and used them to construct fortifications near St. Louis, fortifications along the Ohio River. They used them to And were they paid and compensated? Hell no. They were slaves under a different master. They were the slaves under the federal government, just like the rest of us are today. People, there's too many parallels here to ignore. We exalt a man, write 15,000 books about a man who was a traitor to his own country, as defined by the Constitution. And here's the question I ask all of you folks out there who were just absolutely in love with that parchment. What did it do to stop Lincoln? What did the Bill of Rights, what did the 10th Amendment do to protect Maryland, Kentucky, and Missouri? Who were still in the Union? Again, Missouri did secede, so later. But prior to that, what did the 10th Amendment do to protect them? I want all of you folks down at the 10th Amendment Center to tell me how well that amendment worked in Kentucky and Maryland. When Lincoln took over their governments and put in their stead the military command. And the military command being fraught with illegal immigrants. Hell, was Lincoln's election even legal? Or was it fraudulent? How many recent immigrants from Germany were allowed to vote? How many of you people have ever heard of cooping? And how that brought about the election of Abraham Lincoln in the North. Cooping, C-O-O-P-I-N-G. If you haven't heard about it, look it up, and maybe we will discuss it here someday on RBN and the Rebel Madman Show. But, again, do you not see the parallels? Why did Donald Trump want to return to the principles of Abraham Lincoln? Why did you vote for him after he said that? That's a simple question. Why? Because you didn't know what the principles of Abraham Lincoln were? Or because he had orange hair and he was a Republican, even though he had been a Democrat most of his life? Okay, well, he obviously saw the light. And I don't know how many times I've talked about this, and I'll pick on everybody. I don't like politicians of any stripe, Republican, Democrat, there is no difference. Republicans are just Democrats walking on the same road six steps behind. And our country is being obliterated and destroyed because we pay attention to this stuff. We accept it. And we vote for it every election. How many of you people out there are members of the party of Abraham Lincoln, the traitor, the man who used a military he called up to invade the southern states, to invade the states that were still in the Union? They say today, the records are there, he put something over 300 newspapers in the North out of business. What's that First Amendment again? And how does it work? If you had a newspaper that didn't agree with Lincoln, it was shut down. The Union Army would come in and destroy your printing presses and put you in jail. 300. You ever heard of the American Bastille? How many people were put in prison under Lincoln's administration without ever receiving a trial? One Confederate was tried for treason in the state of Kentucky. Many were put in prison, and many of them were there for years. But one man was tried for treason, and the people of the state of Kentucky found him not guilty. Now, using the Constitution itself, can we say the same thing today about Abraham Lincoln? If Lincoln was put on trial and the evidence was presented, does he deserve a temple in Washington, D.C.? Does he deserve his picture on coin and on paper money? Does he deserve to be the party of the emblem of the party called the Republicans? How many of them have any clue about the evidence that I've presented today? How many of them care? That's what's most important. And I just can't be more appreciative to the folks at RBN for allowing me to try to put the truths of history out there so that you can look them up for yourself. And again, folks, I would tell you, take the opportunity to look into the official records of the War of the Rebellion. It ain't nothing like what you think you know. And these are official Union Army records. This is not something produced by Robert E. Lee Stonewall Jackson. These are official Union Army records about the atrocities, the rapes, the murders, the theft. If you were a supporter of the Confederacy in Kentucky, your property was confiscated by the federal government. I think that might be coming again soon, people. If you don't meet your social credit score, well, hope I haven't bored you folks too much. But again, I appreciate those of you today, and hopefully, if you've got some questions, I hope you've made some notes, because we'll be discussing this at a later date, and I really look forward to getting your calls on this. I just wanted the time today to get out all of my information, to get out everything without an interruption, and I hope you accept that. And, oh, here comes that Dixie music. Wow. Super. Folks, thank you so much. And folks at RBN, thank you. Can't thank you enough. Have a wonderful week, people. God bless. Appreciate it, everyone.
And when he put his arms around her, smile as fierce as a 40-pound. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Then I wish I was in Dixie, hooray, hooray.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.